The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday, the 14th of January, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. On 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. In a few minutes, actually, segment two will get reaction to Governor Ducey's 2020 State of the State legislative address yesterday. Of course, that always kicks off the legislative session. And we'll hear from State Representative Andres Cano, who is wrapping up a vote right now on the House floor. So we'll hear from him at about 12:20. But first, we're going to hear from Shelley Fishman.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, our financial consultant on the Buckmaster Show, financial commentator. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Are you feeling better?
Feeling better. Good. I had pretty much what everybody's had, right? Including you.
Including me.
Yeah, I think it's, if you had to do a poll of Tucsonans, probably 75% either have it, or are dreading getting it.
You mentioned that it was actually affecting the patient load in emergency rooms here in Tucson?
Yes, here in Tucson.
Wow.
Lots of people with the whatever virus, bronchitis, starting as a cold and transitioning into a lot of stuff. So, in fact, actually, Shelley, we're going to talk tomorrow with Victoria Mazes, Dr. Mazes of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. She's going to kind of define what is the difference between cold and flu. And there is a difference, and it's important because especially if you're going to be getting medication.
Sure.
Yeah, because antibiotics.
But we should take the opportunity to encourage everybody who's listening, if you haven't gotten your flu shot,
Still time to get
Absolutely.
It because this is a nasty winter for illness here in the Tucson area. The market's been bouncing really kind of strange. Started the day flat, Shelley.
And then went
had a big bounce, and now it's like looking for a bottom.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of red ink here. In my charts, I have no idea what's causing this. My guess is that somebody said something stupid and it's affecting the markets. The markets this year are slightly positive for the year. What we've seen actually intraday has been one or two peaks over 29,000. So that's really great for the Dow, and it shows the optimism that corporations want to have and investors want to have about where the economy is going.
You were saying last Tuesday the unemployment report will be important. Of course, it always is, but it's a key indicator. And last Friday, the employment report came out. Is it what was expected?
No, it was not as good as what was expected. You know, last week we kind of got into the weeds on some fairly fundamental economic issues about what to expect in the new normal. Is physics dead? You know, do we expect that all the things that we took for granted as general rules of macro or macroeconomics would continue to apply in the near future? And it's not clear that all of those rules are continuing to apply, at least in the same time frames that we expect them to. However, some things are really very different. We talk about income inequality, and we talk about global warming, and we talk about the costs of healthcare as being fundamental effectors of the economy. But there's something else that we haven't really mentioned very much of, and that's the lack of population growth. We do not have large segments of the population coming into the workforce. So that where we used to say that 200,000 jobs a month created is what we need to maintain a healthy economy, that's only true if we have normal growth in population, somewhat enhanced by immigration. But the immigration numbers are way down, and the population growth numbers are virtually flat.
It's a little, I think it's a little over 1%.
Right. So the number for December was 145,000. They were expecting 160. And historically, December is pretty usually a good month because you get all that short-term hiring for the Christmas retail season. Now, retail is problematic, to say the least, except online. So the effect of that kind of hiring was much, much lower. But what we saw was a 3.5% unemployment rate, which is spectacularly good, and new jobs created of about 145,000 instead of the 160 that was expected. Now, if you've got a 3.5% unemployment rate, Bill, where are you going to, you know, get new jobs from? I mean, how are you going to fill new jobs, except for somebody, you know, who either loses or leaves their old job? And so you would expect to see a lot of jockeying around as people try to move jobs to better their salaries or advance their careers or that kind of thing. But at the same time, and this was the really disturbing number for me, we only saw in December a 0.1% increase in wages. Now, that translates to just over 1% for the year, but we know that prior months had been a little bit better. So what we're seeing is a wage growth rate that's probably going to come in once the numbers are firmed up a little bit more. It's somewhere in the area of 2.5% to 3%. Wage growth for the year.
Virtually nothing.
Virtually nothing, yep. Especially when you take that next to inflation, because inflation is running at around 2%.
Yeah.
So real wage growth is less than 1%.
That's swimming upstream.
Exactly. And so that is a huge problem, not only for the economy, but when you take a look at where that wage growth is actually occurring, you know, that's the old joke, you know, that's the average wage growth. And if you have your knees on a block of ice and your head in the oven, on average, you're fine. But your knees don't feel fine, either does your head. And so what we're seeing is a lot of this wage growth is in cities that have increased minimum wages. And so you get it at the very bottom of the wage earning census. And the rest is all happening at the top. So the middle class, the working class people, are not feeling increases in their wages and have not for very many years now. And what's discouraging about that, especially in an economy that is so based on consumerism, is that when you get pessimism and when you get the failure of people to really believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today, they stop spending. And so that's, I think, at the core of my pessimism about where GDP growth is going to go in 2020. I really do think that we're going to see a slowdown to below 1% and maybe even go into negative territory for a couple of months. And if we do that, that's technically speaking a recession.
Shelley, I've only got less than 2 minutes. The David Lionheart piece in the Sunday New York Times, the op-ed entitled FDR Got It, Most Democrats Don't. What was the most important takeaway point?
The takeaway point is that people need to understand that programs being offered and being promoted by politicians have to have a real effect on their lives. People need to understand and really be able to connect with those programs so they think that government is doing the right thing for them. FDR got that. He understood that you build a Triborough Bridge, you build the Manhattan Tunnel, you build the Kansas City Civic Auditorium, that you spend what was at that time a very large amount, say $6.5 billion, on civic stuff. And people will see it and like
it.
Well,
then everybody feels they've got a stake in it.
Bingo. But what we're seeing now with Democrats, and this is what David Leonhardt is talking about, is that Democrats are in the weeds on some of these proposals, and you and I have spent time debunking Medicare for All and some of the alternatives to that. But it doesn't really give the population something to hold on to that they can really understand. And unless Democrats, again quoting Leonhardt, unless Democrats are able to propose things, stuff, that people can really look to and cathect with, then they're not going to be successful. Trump is very good at that. I mean, he lies all the time, and he's not saying true things, but he makes people think they can understand what he's saying, and the things he's proposing are things they want. And that's what Democrats need to do. This is a great day to discuss it, because there's a debate tonight.
Right.
And we'll see if Democrats are getting this message. Leonhardt was the Washington bureau chief for the New York Times for several years. He's a smart guy, and he got this one right.
Only six candidates will be on stage tonight. Yay. All right, Shelley, thank you very much. Hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker Steve is ready right now to serve you a delicious breakfast. If you still would like breakfast now, that's not a problem. They're open at 6:30 each morning for breakfast. And of course, they're open right now for a beautiful lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery on the web. And there's a link at buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for everything green. They've got you covered for anything for the garden. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful 13-acre site, chocked full of everything you could possibly imagine for making your garden beautiful and your home beautiful with Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. They've got it all for you, a destination in itself. GreenThingsAZ.com or ZocaloVillage.com. The lawmakers in session now up in Phoenix. Let's go to the state capitol. District 3 Democrat Andres Cano, who I believe is the second youngest lawmaker up in Phoenix. Andres, how are you?
Thank you so much, Bill. Happy New Year. I'm doing great, and I'm so grateful to be here on day two of Arizona's 54th legislature.
Are you the second youngest?
Yes, I am. And there's a whole lot of us who are kids, you know, who are experienced and ready to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And among many other things, I'm just grateful to Yes, to be young and be up here, because you need a lot of youthful energy to put up with some of the nonsense.
Let's talk about the marquee issues that came up in the governor's state of the state. Closing the state prison at Florence, was that a surprise?
You know, it definitely was. And I will say two things. I applaud Governor Ducey for moving in this direction, but embracing criminal justice reform as a priority. But more than anything, you know, this is an issue that has burgeoned over all these years, and we're to the point where we're not closing the Florence prison because there is a lack of inmates or a lack of issues that we have to deal with. We're doing it because it's about $274 million that it would take in today's dollars to be able to bring back the building up to code. Think about a $300 million investment that we've not made over all of these decades that the Florence prison has been in operation, and the conditions of the inmates, healthcare issues, the technology that folks need to be able to take care of our inmates. I mean, this is a win, but it's really just a fiscal win, and the inmates will just be shipped to other state prisons, and in fact, it actually grow our private prison industry, because they'll also be getting some of the inmates that are currently at Florence. So I don't know how to feel about it, Bill, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. How about education, Andres?
Well, you know, we have a lot of teachers throughout Arizona to thank for electing a 29 Democrat, 31 Republican state house. And they did that in 2018, where we had 50,000 educators and public education supporters coming to the state capitol to demand more. Out of those Red for Ed protests, the governor offered his 2020 plan, which of course would offer a little bit more compensation to teachers. And we're expecting to see the last remaining 5% of that in this upcoming budget. We don't get, for the audience's perspective, we don't get the actual budget until Friday. So the governor governor's State of the State happened yesterday. We're expected to receive that on Friday, so it's going to be a busy weekend as we analyze the numbers. I am hoping that the governor is going to not only address the teacher shortage in our state, but that he is also going to be stay focused on the support staff, the librarians, the nurses, all of the other great folks who make up a quality public school. Because I'm talking, Bill, right now to teachers who are still sending emails about broken roofs, AC and heating units that have not been repaired. I have parents who are concerned about the supply list that they are given at the beginning of every semester, asking for things like reams of paper for a day-to-day course of work at one of our Arizona public schools. So I'm looking forward to seeing the governor's proposal and know that we still have a long way to restore funding back to levels that we've seen at our highest, which was in 2007 and 2008.
State Representative Dr. Randy Fries will be my guest, Andres, on Friday, so we'll probably have some budget numbers from the governor by that time. So it'll be interesting to get his reaction. I believe
He might be speaking in a really high pitch voice at that point with all the data coming his way.
Yes.
So, you know, fast paced, high pitch. It'll be coming at us.
And I think, Dr. Fries is again the assistant state minority leader, correct?
Yeah, he's the assistant minority leader, which means he's the number two Democrat on the House side, and we will be paying close attention to those numbers as well. And of course, the biggest thing, Bill, is last year we had almost 130 days of session and ended in almost late May last year. This year, I think the majority party is trying very hard to get us out within 85 days. I don't know that they're going to be able to do that, but this process could go very quickly. I think right now a lot of the majority is looking to preserve its 31-member caucus here at the House. Democrats are only two seats away from taking over, and this isn't about party. As it relates to education and what changed Arizona, it was all about public education and making sure that we support our universities and our community colleges. And one of the biggest notes that I got out of yesterday and folks in my district is, you know, I shared with them a graph that shares the reality of last year's numbers. We spend more money sending people to prison than on our three state universities combined now with our state budget. That's not the kind of optimism and direction that folks in District 3 or throughout the state, I think, want to hear about. I have no problem standing up to this governor and presenting the facts, because budgets are a reflection of our realities, and it's going to be a big week for us to make sure that we're staying focused on that.
This proposal to eliminate state income tax for military retirees, you wouldn't think there'd be a lot of opposition to this, or what's your take?
No, I don't think so. And I first off want to thank all of our veterans, many of them in my family, who have served this country. And I'm looking forward to supporting an economy that is going to be honoring their service and making sure that they can live happily and freely here in Arizona. I think from a broader perspective, we have over $600 million in tax incentives that are offered to industries, to high net worth folks throughout our state that ultimately, you know, you do budgets at home, your listeners do budgets at home, you try to make sure that there's enough coming in. And right now, there's not going to be a lot of money coming in 2-3 years when all of these tax credits are finally cashed in, and so it's a lose-lose situation for our overall state budget when we carve away at it. But you know, for important areas where we're going to be able to support folks like our veterans, you know, let's do it.
How about this slam? I think it's directed at Tucson, eliminating sanctuary cities.
Sure. Well, I mean, again, Bill, I think Republicans are nervous about losing power, and they're trying to excite their base with fear and divisions. I mean, whether you agree with sanctuary cities or not, the fact is that they're already not allowed in Arizona because of SB 1070. It's just a distraction. It's all about politics and not policy. And what we hear, you know, time and time again is as the state capital changes, I mean, Democrats gained four seats last year and we're on the path to be having a Democratic House. you're going to, the Republican Party is going to put out all of the issues. They're going to be talking about sanctuary cities. They're going to be talking about LGBT rights and taking those away because they're under the impression that LGBT folks are trying to indoctrinate our kids, our precious elementary school kids, and they're having a discussion that ties it directly to being able to teach health and sex education in our schools. Those issues don't have to be together, but instead we're promoting fear instead of love and opportunity. And so I'm not surprised that the governor would throw this in. And look, Tucson rejected this. And the reason why I believe Tucson voters did that is because you have a state legislature and lawmakers that were using official government resources to say, if you do this, Tucson, we are going to take your state revenue to the city of Tucson. And what would that do? That would dismantle public safety. That would hurt firefighters. That would hurt our roads and infrastructure in Tucson. And so I just call it legalized bullying, what we do to local jurisdictions up here at the Capitol Bill. It's a continued erosion of local control. And at this point, you know, we'll see what happens if this ends up the sanctuary city bill being something that we vote on to ban. This cycle, I would not be surprised that they would try to create this kind of division in a year where they will lose their majority at the House.
All right, Andres Cano, you are off and running here with this legislative session. We'll see if the lawmaker
votes right now.
All right, I'll let you get back to the votes up there in Phoenix. Thank you, Andres.
Thanks,
good checking
Bill.
With
really
you.
Really appreciate you. Have a great year.
Thank you very much, Andres Cano, with us, District 3 Democrat. Second youngest member of the Arizona legislature. Coming up now, we've got CBS. They do a one-minute update, and then we're going to hear from the great partners that make the Buckmaster Show possible. Then a preview with our historian, Ken Scoville. It's Dillinger Days again. Kind of kicks off the event calendar in Tucson. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They're planning on a chocolate Fanastasia. Folks who love chocolate, and pretty much everybody does, right? February the 8th is the event over in Silver City. You can find out about what's going on over there. There's always a lot of recreation opportunities. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. They've been a wonderful partner for this program. We send a lot of visitors from the Buckmaster Show who sample that lovely portion of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay and things to do. Well, we've got a lot to do here in Tucson. Kent Scoville is with us. He's the Buckmaster Show historian and contributor on, downtown and history and all sorts of things. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I still say Happy New Year to people when I see them for the first time in a new year, so I know it's a little late.
Oh, but, well, things are going to start moving with all the events going up.
Well, Dillinger Day, and we celebrate this kind of, well, I don't know if it celebrate is probably the, maybe not the right word, but I think we're celebrating more of the Tucson Police Department and Fire Department actually having a role in capturing pretty much the criminal number one. Wasn't he like on the top of the, the list?
And the other really interesting fact is without a shot being fired.
Wow.
They got all of them without a shot being
at
fired.
At the Hotel Congress?
Well,
no.
Just real quickly, the fire started and two of the patrons there, everybody had to come down, but two of the gang, not Dillinger, was at the hotel, and their suitcases were very heavy, and they paid them extra money to the firemen, and then things transpired from that.
Okay.
And they started capturing each one, arresting each one as they isolated them, but no shots were fired.
And they eventually brought in Dillinger over at...
On 2nd Street, 2nd Avenue, I think.
Do you think the house is still
there? Oh, I know it is, but I never got out the dress.
Whoa, of course not. You don't want to give out the dress. But this is really the start of our calendar, of event calendar, and it's become a big deal. Hotel Congress, of course, they do kind of a speakeasy this Saturday night.
Right.
Then Sunday, there's pretty much all day with the reenactments.
They do three reenactments, and then they're going to have more artifacts. They're supposed to have the Tommy gun that I guess he used or one of the police used. I'll be doing two different talks, and there's a walking tour that another gentleman that I know is going to be doing the walking tour. So it's a nice kickoff, and all these events that are coming up really tie into the history of Tucson.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, we've got so many events that are history related, right?
Right. In January with Dillinger Days, then we get into February and the Gem and Mineral Show that started in the elementary school cafeteria, Keeling Elementary, which was the district I worked with for decades. And then we got the rodeo, all the history with that and promotions. And then it just spills into the railroad and March. And then all the home tours that are going to be coming up.
What can you tell us about the update of the Pima County Museum?
Well, what's going on is, and if you've been following, our 1928 historic courthouse is now going to be a regional visitor center, and that's really significant. And it should be by the end of the month. I know they're going to have a soft opening pretty soon for the visitor center. But eventually, there'll be the mineral collection from the university over there. The courtroom where Dillinger was actually arraigned is in the process of being restored, so that'll be available for next year for people to see. But and lots of other activities and things, and then the January 8th memorial is ongoing. That'll probably take another 6 to 12 months to get that finished. But all kinds of things, and what it's fun and interesting and happy for me that they're all history related.
When did you first, I know you've been really active with downtown restoration, but when you go back to the 80s about
this
or what?
Yes, I did my first walking tour in May of 1985.
Wow.
We did our first sort of promoting people to come downtown in 1986, and we got the Star, Arizona Daily Star, to do an article for us, and the banner headline was, Dare the Darkness and Come Downtown. So that was sort of interesting start, but it's been fascinating for me to see the evolution, having been involved with it for decades.
Getting back to Dillinger, 1934, Tucson was kind of a sleepy little place, wasn't it?
Well, it was sleepy, but it became sleepier because of the Depression.
Okay.
And realizing we didn't have an industry, but everything, copper prices collapsed, cotton. And it was also, and if you read people's reviews at the time and things were gone, Tucson came together as a community. Everybody supported each other, and we all had a barter system. If you fix my car, I'll take care of this or that. So they had a barter system, and people really pulled together.
So that helped mitigate the effects somewhat of the Great Depression.
Yes.
Here in Tucson.
And I imagine other communities did this, but because we were only 32,000 as our population, people really knew each other, communicated with each other, didn't text, but they really had a close relationship and got through very difficult times.
They had a good discussion this morning at 8 o'clock, during the 8 o'clock hour on the Wake Up Tucson program. They were talking. Christy Simone, the host, was talking with Zach Yenser, who is does a show here from 9 to 10 called Tipping Point. But Zach is also the president of the Young Tucson Professionals. They were talking, Ken, about branding Tucson. And they went back to kind of the original brand was the Sunshine
Climate Club.
Right. We were selling basically the sun.
Right.
And the discussion this morning was, we need maybe a new brand. What do you think about that?
Oh.
Well, and I know this probably wouldn't be popular with you, but they were saying when this old Pueblo that everybody, you know, moniker, that kind of seems old-fashioned.
Right. And it's an irony to me because having done tours for almost 35 years, everybody coming here is looking for the old Pueblo. And so every time, and I remember that whole event, and I did several talks around town when we had the whole debate about the old Pueblo.
Yeah.
Nobody looked up the words old and Pueblo.
Okay.
And what they really mean, and old was talking antiquity and heritage and tradition, and Pueblo went back to the native people living in sort of a communal area. So we've had people here for thousands of years, and these are things we should celebrate. If this is a tag on this rebranding, I've gone too much. In the 1960s, late 50s, 60s, we changed our branding to the Sunshine Factory.
The Sunshine Factory. Yeah.
Yes, we did that for a while, and then everybody sort of rolled their eyes. And I think by dumb luck, the old Pueblo keeps hanging on.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I didn't hear them say this morning, I recall that there was a time we called ourselves Optics Valley. I can remember even the airport had a sign. This was during Mayor Walkup's time. Welcome to Tucson Optics Valley.
Right. Yeah. Typically, you find these hooks trying to tie in with the economy.
Sure.
My favorite quote, Will Rogers came out here during World War II, or a little earlier, and did some fundraising, and he called Tucson the Athens of the desert.
What?
Yes, he called it the Athens of the desert, that this was this oasis and mystery and history, because we had a lot more buildings downtown. But that was one of my favorite brandings, the Athens of the desert.
So I think what you're saying is when you start thinking about branding, our history has to play a role.
It, you know, and of course I'm biased.
Sure, I know.
But it really, what it's all about. I tell people I'm a Phoenix refugee. I grew up in Phoenix, but there is not, unless you like sports, there's nothing up there. You have all the liabilities of a big city, but none of the enjoyment. It's always the history. The national parks are the history. Sabino Canyon, people used to wash their cars there in the 1950s. I mean, everybody's always been connected with our history.
All right, Ken, let's give folks the three reenactments on Sunday, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m. Are you giving any talks for the 2020?
I'm doing one on, they asked me to do the centennial history talk about why the Congress Hotel is the only remaining historic hotel in downtown, and then I'm doing one on what was Tucson like in the 1930s. So
okay,
two separate talks.
Going to be fun. Speakeasy Saturday night at Hotel Congress, then all the fun Not that that's not going to be fun. I was going to say then all the fun begins. The speakeasy will be plenty fun. The 2020 Dillinger Days really kicks off. 11 a.m. downtown Tucson should be fun. Ken, always a pleasure. Ken Scoville.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our, speaking of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with Margaret Regan. That's next.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. So much going on at the Fox. Beginning January 21st, Ballet Folklorico Nacional de México de Silva Lorenzo. This is the big one, the Ballet Folklorica that's been delighting audiences for 60 years. They're coming to Tucson. Sunday, February 9th, Winona and the Big Noise, five-time Grammy winner with 21 number one songs. Very amazing. Winona and the Big Noise. That's going to be a great show. Check it out. FoxTucson.com for Ballet Folklorico, the Mexican National Ballet Company, January 21st. Hey, the Fab Four, the Ultimate Beatles Tribute, Saturday, January 25th. Paulo in concert, Friday, January 31st. Then Winona and the Big Noise hit the stage on February 9th. More information. To view the full Fox schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Margaret Regan is the longtime, she's been writing about the arts at the Tucson Weekly really since 1990. She's the author of two very popular books, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. That was published to a very critically acclaimed, the book got a lot of great publicity, 2015. Then The Death of Joceline, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands, that was published in 2010. Margaret's a very accomplished writer, so much so that we are very proud to announce she has been named Writer in Residence at the Pima County Library. Congratulations, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, what an honor, right? It just came out of the blue.
Wow.
They said, would you do this? And I said, what?
Yeah.
Do what? Yeah, so it's very nice. They've had this program for several years, I think maybe 3 or 4 years. They get a writer in the spring and another one in the fall, and it's a 3-month gig. And I will have one-on-one consultations with people who are aspiring writers or they're writers already, and they just want some advice and feedback. And then I'll be doing one each month of the 3 months I'm doing it, February, March, and April, leading a whole writer's workshop. One of those is going to be at the Tucson Festival of Books.
Okay.
So I would think there'd be a big audience for that.
Yeah.
That event.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really nice. And then they, the other hours, you know, I do 5 hours a week meeting with writers. And then the other hours, I have devoted time for my own work. So
Whoa.
It's very nice.
Very nice. Is there a place to find out where you'll be or...
Yeah, I think they're about to do publicity. This is
okay.
The first time I've told anybody publicly about it. I think if you look on the library...
they'll have something on the website,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, something will be coming up soon. I am going to be doing the sessions. I know one place is going to be Himmel Library, and the other one's going to be Martha Cooper.
Okay.
So, yeah, Midtown places.
And another scoop while we're at it here, coming up in the weekly, which will be this Thursday, January 16th, you'll be reporting about the Davis Dominguez Gallery closing.
Yeah.
And they've had a long run, 43 years.
Isn't that amazing?
What's going on?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, Mike Dominguez and Candace Davis, you know, they're a husband and wife team. They, as you said, they've been doing this for 43 years, and they are now, shockingly to me, in their early 70s. These two are so fit. They go on backpacking trips all the time. They go up mountains for days, you know, carrying all their own stuff. So, you know, that's a long time to be doing it and looking forward to retirement. So I guess that plan was in the works for some time. But, you know, as always, it feels like a loss. I mean, that's been a great space for contemporary art in Tucson. And I don't know if you remember, for some years they were up in the foothills.
Yes.
And they came downtown in 98. And downtown was, you know, not the place that it is today. And, you know, they took a risk. And they opened that beautiful space on 6th Street. In an old warehouse. It's really one of the nicest art spaces in Tucson. And they really helped stimulate the whole area. I mean,
what's going in that space?
Oh, well, we don't know for sure yet. But La Rua's Mexican restaurant is eyeing it. They're working on it. They've already brought in an architect to see how they would reconfigure it. But it's not a done deal yet, but it kind of looks pretty likely to me. So, and you remember La Rua, you know,
sure.
another thing about urban urban life. They got kicked out of their long-term space on Broadway for the Broadway widening. So, you know, it's bittersweet. You know, we're really glad to think that La Rua's is going to come back. It's a very popular family-owned restaurant. It's been around for years. But, you know, it just tugs on the heartstrings that it's, you know, we're losing another art space. And that's often what happens in revitalization of cities. The artists and the art galleries get there first, and then everybody thinks it's cool and great. And then it becomes too expensive for the small galleries to stay there, and, you know, the things change, and you get more entertainment venues rather than the art galleries.
They'll be there through June, is that correct, Davis Dominguez?
Yeah, that's right. The end of June. And, you know, good for them. They're doing three exhibitions in that time period. They're always busy. There's a really fun show up right now, all abstraction, beautiful stuff. And that's up till February 22nd. So, you know, there's plenty of time to get down there and still see things.
Well, let's see if we can get one more in here. A story from last week's Weekly, January 9th, now on the newsstands, the legendary Rancho Linda Vista Art Colony.
Yeah, yeah, this is a really fun show up at Tohono O'Toole. I don't know how many listeners have heard about Rancho Linda Vista, but it's been very important in the arts in Tucson for, gosh, is it 50 years now?
At least, yes.
Yeah. It's really an interesting thing. It's up in Oracle, and a bunch of late 60s, some very, you know, forward-minded professors of art at the University of Arizona bought an old dude ranch up in Oracle and turned it into this artist colony. There are all these little houses. That's the way the dude ranch had been set up. So all these artists moved up there with their families, with kids, and it's a beautiful piece of land, you know, on the northern side of the Catalina Mountains. And they've been extremely influential in the arts all these years. Charles Littler was one of the founders. Bruce McGrew was one of the founders. You know, just a lot of people who had James G. Davis and, let's see, there's a...
Jim Wade?
Yeah, Jim. Oh, Jim Wade was never...
Okay.
A member.
All right.
He did do a residency there. And Andrew Rush was one of the early people. And as you may know, he's the one that started the drawing studio in Tucson.
Sure.
Very popular thing. So anyway, this is a really fun show because it's kind of an oral history because a lot of those founders are now dead. Not Andrew Rush, of course, but the others are dead. But many of their children who grew up kind of half wild in that place.
The free spirits, right?
Very free spirited. You know, it was the hippie years and
sure.
kids. So it's kind of an art or an oral history of what happened to those children. A lot of them are artists, and many of them came back to the ranch as young adults, and they're now getting to be, you know, middle age or even late middle age and raising their children there. So... it's really fun to go up there and hear all that. Each person wrote sort of their own history of what their experience with the ranch was. So there are all these wonderful stories.
Gotta run. Okay.
You gotta run.
Yeah, but I do want to say again, congratulations on your writer in residence, and we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Margaret Regan, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show. Look for the Fox Tucson Theater. Go to their website, foxtucson.com, to view the full Fox Theater event. Schedule and to purchase tickets to the Ballet Folklorico, the National Ballet of Mexico. That show is coming up very soon. That's January the 21st. The Fab Four, the Ultimate Beatle Tribute, Saturday, January the 25th, Winona and the Big Noise hit the Fox stage on February 9th. So again, for more information and to view the full Fox event schedule and to purchase tickets, please visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. A very full hour, say the least, right? As usual here on the Buckmaster Show, we try to put a lot of material in 60 minutes. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer producer, I am Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's very popular show is next. Have a great afternoon.